Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the eighth show in our series to bring you vital information and discussion of all sorts of health issues on your mind and in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, let's clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the U.S. with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health issues, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we'll do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what is happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. So it's spring. Daffodils, grass, hiking, biking, horses, tennis, golf, fence mending, garden digging, rototilling, planting, staking, toting compost, weeding, rebuilding walls and steps. Wait a minute, that's starting to sound like a lot of back work. And it is. So last time we started a two-show series on back pain, with the last show tackling acute back pain, in other words, sudden onset back pain. This time we'll tackle chronic or long-term back pain. But first, let me just note that it's also, of course, the beginning of the spring allergy season. Tree pollen, mold, and dust are flying around in abundance after all the snow cover has finally melted. We did a show on seasonal allergies last fall, and all that information still applies. If you'd like to review what we discussed so far on seasonal allergies or acute back pain, you can listen to either of those shows online by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the on-demand section, and scroll down and select the Your Health shows, and then the individual seasonal allergies or back pain show. But today we're going to continue our discussion of a potentially seasonal issue, long-term back pain. As a reminder, if you have back pain, you are among many who do. Nearly everyone at some point has back pain that interferes with work, daily life, sports, and recreation. In the U.S., we spend more than $50 billion every year on back pain. It's the most common cause of job-related disability and a leading cause of missed work. There are two general types of back pain, acute and chronic, with many different potential causes for each. Last time we talked about acute back pain, which means pain that's come on suddenly and usually relatively severely. The word acute has many definitions. Medically, it refers to a generally severe onset condition of relatively short duration to date. Acute back pain is generally due to a sudden injury or strain, and it's been around for a short period of time, only a few days or a couple of weeks. It can be from a fracture, nerve compression, or disc injury, but most commonly, acute back pain is due to severe muscle strain or spasm. It can be extremely painful, and it's generally what's at the bottom of people saying, quote, my back is out. We dealt with this issue last time. Chronic back pain is another animal altogether. Chronic back pain is pain that's been with you for a long time, and it can range from mild to severe and be constant, worsening, or variable. Pain that persists for more than 3 months is considered chronic. There are many, 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 many possible causes of chronic back pain. For example, an incompletely healed ruptured disc, bone, or nerve injury, a structural anomaly like scoliosis, progressive arthritis or other musculoskeletal diseases, autoimmune conditions, post-surgical chronic pain, neuropathies or other nerve pathologies, repetitive motion or task-related strains, analogous to carpal tunnel syndrome of the wrist but in your back, and even emotional or psychiatric conditions. Chronic back pain is often progressive, and the cause can be very difficult to determine in some cases. Today we'll delve further into that. But once again, let's review how all this pain might happen and take a quick look at the anatomy and structure of the back to get some insight into the function of the back and how these problems may occur. Our backs are literally the back of our trunks. The back is built around our midline spine. The spine extends from the base of the skull all the way to our coccyx, our tailbone. The spine is considered as functionally divided into three areas: cervical, the neck; thoracic, the upper trunk where ribs are involved; and lumbar, the lower trunk without ribs, terminating in the sacrum and coccyx. The sacrum is a large bony structure roughly in the shape of a 3D, upside-down, slightly curving pyramid, wider and thicker at the top, and very narrow and thinner at the bottom, where the coccyx dangles from its bottom. The sacrum sits between our two big pelvic bones, the ilia. So the joints between each side of this unique and wonderful sacrum and the right or left ilium are the sacroiliac joints, the famous SI joints. The spine itself is made up of 24 stacked vertebrae, 7 cervical in the neck, C1 to C7, 12 thoracic in the upper trunk with ribs attached, T1 to T12, and 5 lumbar in the lower trunk, L1 to L5. A single vertebra is a rounded bone with a hollow center through which the spinal cord extends. Most vertebrae also have lateral, wing-like extensions on either side, and one prominence sticking out roughly backwards to which other tissues can attach. The vertebrae are all stacked on top of each other for the length of the back, and can be loosely thought of as creating a flexible rod with a hollow core for the spinal cord that extends downwards from the brain. The detailed structures of the vertebrae create smaller tubal spaces on each side of them, called foramina, that are contiguous with the hollow core containing the spinal cord, and through which the regional nerves that give us strength and sensation emerge from the spinal cord and travel out into the tissues these nerves innervate. A little like branch telephone wires for each house coming off of the main neighborhood line. Because the bones of the spinal column continue growing long after the spinal cord reaches its full length in childhood, the nerve roots to the lower back and legs extend many inches down the spinal column before exiting. This large bundle of nerve roots was named by early anatomists as the cauda equina, or horse's tail. Anything that impinges on the spinal cord, cauda equina, or nerve roots coming off of the spinal cord can cause pain. In between the vertebrae are spongy round discs acting as cushions or shock absorbers between the bony bodies of the vertebrae. These are the intervertebral discs, or just discs for short. If the discs bulge, protrude, or herniate out of their normal space, they can press on the spinal cord or nerve roots and cause pain. When pain is caused by pressing on a nerve, it typically radiates along the course of that nerve, especially down the arm or leg. Then there are all the large, strong back muscles that attach to various vertebrae and run down both sides of the back and through and around our hips and buttocks in pairs, one on the right side, one on the left. They keep us upright, help to bend and flex our back, trunk, and hips. There are several that are commonly involved in back pain, including the psoas and quadratus muscles. In addition, there's a group of muscles deep to our buttocks that are commonly involved in a kind of back pain called sciatica. If any of these muscles are strained or spasm, they can cause back pain, generally acute or sudden onset pain. Although, if these muscles are in spasm for an extended period of time, or repeatedly, this can lead to chronic pain as well. So what are the usual causes of chronic back pain? It can be caused by many things, but chief among those are disc injury. Disc injury can be a cause of acute or chronic back pain. Disc injury is protruding, herniation, or ruptured disc. The intervertebral discs are under constant pressure from the vertebrae above and below them in the face of gravity and motion. As discs age or are stressed, they can degenerate and weaken. The disc can then more easily bulge or be pushed into the space containing the spinal cord or a nerve root, causing pain. Most herniated discs occur in the lower lumbar portion of the spinal column. If they're pressing on a nerve and remain in that position for an extended period of time, this can lead to chronic pain. A much more serious complication of a ruptured disc is cauda equina syndrome, which occurs when disc material is pushed into the spinal canal and compresses the bundle of lumbar and sacral nerve roots that stretch below the spinal cord proper. Permanent neurological damage may result if this syndrome is left untreated. Disc injury can also lead to acute sciatica when a herniated or ruptured disc presses on the sciatic nerve roots. Spinal degeneration from disc wear and tear can lead to a narrowing of the spinal canal, another cause of chronic back pain. A person with spinal degeneration may experience stiffness in the back upon awakening or may feel pain after walking or standing for a long time. Spinal stenosis, another sort of narrowing of the spinal canal related to degenerative changes or congenital narrowing of the canal, predisposes some people to pain, which can be aggravated by strain and age. Skeletal irregularities can produce strain on the vertebrae and supporting muscles, tendons, ligaments, and tissues supported by the spinal column. These can also cause chronic back pain. These irregularities include things like scoliosis, the curving of the spine to one side, hyperkyphosis, in which the normal curve of the upper back is severely rounded, hyperlordosis, an abnormally accentuated arch in the lower back hyperextension, which is a bending backward of the spine, back hyperflexion, in which the spine bends forward, or sacral torsion, in which the sacrum is twisted to one side. Fibromyalgia is a chronic pain disorder characterized by widespread musculoskeletal pain, fatigue, and multiple tender points, particularly in the neck, spine, shoulders, hips, and often involving the back and back pain. Additional symptoms may include sleep disturbances, morning stiffness, and anxiety. Spondylitis refers to chronic back pain and stiffness caused by a severe infection to or inflammation of the spinal joints. Sciatica is a low back pain that radiates down the back of the thigh. It can be caused by an acute muscle strain that can become a chronic pain when the muscle strain remains unresolved, or by a sacral displacement that perturbs the sciatic nerve itself, or by more serious issues like tumors, cysts, or degeneration of the sciatic nerve itself. Rheumatoid arthritis and other degenerative arthritic diseases are progressive diseases that lead to destruction of joints and joint spaces with varying degrees of chronic pain. Rheumatoid and psoriatic arthritis are autoimmune diseases. Osteoarthritis, the arthritis of aging, is a wear and tear pathology. So what's to be done about chronic back pain? Well, that depends on the cause. If you have a long-standing back pain that originally came on suddenly after working or playing hard for the first time or two this season, or after lifting a heavy weight, it could be a chronic muscle spasm or disc injury. But if you've had a trauma, a car accident, fall, kicked by an animal, it could also be nerve impingement from vertebral fracture. You may have a structural issue that leads to chronic back pain. Chronic sciatica, for example, is often due to sacral displacement from a long-ago fall or other injury. In all cases, it's important to be evaluated by a physician if you have chronic back pain. In some cases, you may need imaging to determine the cause, but not always. The exact nature and pattern of your pain, as well as any other symptoms like new numbness and tingling in legs or feet, fever or chills, blood in your urine, or difficulty standing, sitting, or walking, plus a detailed account of all your recent activities and any trauma, will all be important clues to your physician as to the cause of your back pain. For spondylitis and some degenerative disease issues, you may need medication. For fractures and severe stenosis or long-standing disc injury, you may need hospitalization or reparative surgery. Regardless of the cause of your chronic back pain, you will need to develop thorough and thoughtful routines of care for your back and can likely benefit from osteopathic treatment. A good osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be especially helpful for chronic back pain. How can the gentle hands-on work of an osteopathic physician help with back pain? In the case of disc herniation, the disc material itself has protruded out of its capsule and onto the spinal cord or nerve. In the case of sciatica, the pain can be caused by a muscle spasm, sacral displacement, or other skeletal irregularity. In the case of chronic pain from stenosis or spinal degeneration, there is generally nerve impingement from deranged or narrowed vertebral structure. An osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine knows how to work gently with the structure of your back, the spine, vertebrae, discs, nerves, muscles, and surrounding tissues to relax spasm, relieve vertebral pressure on discs and associated tissues, relieve inflammation and pain, and help your body restore your back to optimal function. Osteopathic treatment also helps your body heal from infections, fractures, and surgery by optimizing circulation and lymphatic drainage, helping to minimize inflammation, and preventing secondary muscle spasming. In cases such as fibromyalgia, where hypersensitivity of pain receptors is often involved, osteopathy can help to rebalance the autonomic nervous system and thereby often help to reduce the hypersensitivity response itself. And remember, a chronic back condition can take as long to improve as it took to develop. The best cure for chronic back pain is prevention. But even if we've already developed chronic back pain, caring for our back at every level of its function is crucial. Here are some important tips for maintaining good back health and avoiding chronic back pain, as well as for caring for chronic back pain itself to minimize discomfort and maximize function. Keeping in mind that if you already have chronic back pain, you'll need to utilize these tips to whatever extent is possible for you within the bounds of your abilities. Following any period of prolonged inactivity, like after this past winter, Begin a program of regular, low-impact exercises, but begin gradually and thoughtfully. The old adage of, quote, no pain, no gain, never applies when dealing with chronic back pain. Rather, quote, let's sustain no pain should be more like it for you. Walking, rehabilitative aquasize or swimming, gentle stationary bike riding 20 to 30 minutes a day can increase muscle strength and flexibility. Gentle yoga, tai chi, and qigong can also help stretch and strengthen muscles and improve posture. Ask your physician for a list of low-impact exercises appropriate for your age and condition and designed to strengthen lower back and abdominal muscles. Remember, the belly is the front of the back, and the back is the back of the belly, and both need to be in shape to support your back. Always stretch before and after exercise or other strenuous physical activity. Don't slouch when standing or sitting. When standing, keep your weight balanced on both of your feet. At home or work, make sure your work surface is at a comfortable height for you. Sit in a chair with good lumbar support and proper position and height for the task. Keep your shoulders back. Switch your sitting position often, and periodically get up and walk around the office or gently stretch muscles to relieve tension. A pillow or rolled-up towel placed behind the small of your back can provide some lumbar support. If you have to sit for a long period of time, rest your feet on a low stool or a stack of books. Wear comfortable, flat shoes with good arch support. Ladies, ditch those heels. No aesthetic judgments here, but the heels are all bad for your back, and I mean all heels all the time. Sorry, but it's true. Sleep on your side with the hollow between your shoulder and neck filled with a soft pillow to reduce any curve in your spine. You can also place a pillow or two between your knees while sleeping on your side to reduce pressure and pull on the topmost hip and therefore keep your low back more comfortable. Don't try to lift objects too heavy for you. When you do lift, lift with your knees, pull in your stomach muscles, and keep your head down and in line with your straight back. Keep the object close to your body. Don't twist when lifting. Maintain proper nutrition and diet to reduce and prevent excessive weight, especially weight around the middle that taxes lower back muscles. And remember that a diet with sufficient daily intake of calcium, phosphorus, and vitamin D helps to promote new bone growth. If you smoke, this is another reason to quit. In addition to all the other problems we know smoking leads to, smoking reduces blood flow to the lower spine, causes the spinal discs to degenerate, and can lead to chronic pain. So let's review. Chronic back pain needs attention by a physician, whether it's due to a disc injury, congenital structural issue, degenerative disease, or other chronic pain pathology. Maintaining good back health and conditioning helps us avoid developing chronic back pain. Osteopathy is practiced by osteopathic physicians who are specialists in osteopathic manual medicine, can make a real difference in helping backs heal, in optimizing structure and function in the back, and therefore in reducing chronic back pain with gentle, precise, hands-on work. Well, it looks like that's all the time I've got today. Thanks so much for your attention to your health with myself, Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy at our office in Sharon, Connecticut, Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman at Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday through Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sundays at 5:30. Take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.